here, and like the rhythm of the West, that means a lot to us when we're kicking off. We see newness, we're waiting for spring, we're anticipating the leaves to come back, flowers to grow. We're anticipating a time where we can go back to the beach, right? Because we're Floridians and that's what we do. But it also is a time where we're thinking through, like, how can this year be better than last year? Like, there were things, ruts that we got into, habits that we formed or allowed in our life that weren't exactly what we intended. And so this month, this time, becomes that moment where we do just that, where we change our habits, we get out of our ruts, we try to live a different lifestyle. I got a new watch around Christmas time. I had to buy it for myself, by the way. Anyways, that's another whole story. But I got this new watch. And one of the things that it does is it tells me how I'm doing throughout the day. So it'll pop up and it'll say, you know, you have been sitting too long. You should stand up. So then I stand up and I move around for a little bit. And then I go on. And if I hit 12, I get a nice big thumbs up because I stood for 12 hours during the day instead of sitting. Because they say sitting is really bad for you, like for your health, to be sitting for hours and hours on end. And I did. Man, last year I'd hunch over my desk and I'd be typing away at my computer and I could just feel it. So this thing tells me to stand up. So I stand up. And it tracks, like, if I get enough exercise, it tells me how minutes I've at least briskly walked. Not, like, full-on exercise, but I should at least be walking, you know, fast enough for it to notice that I'm moving. So it tells me how I'm doing. 30 minutes a day, you know, is what my tracking at. And so, you know, we do that, and it tells me that. And then it tells me how many calories I'm burning, and depending on how active I am. But it's this new lifestyle that I want to. I got into some bad habits last year. I started stress eating, put on a couple of pounds that I didn't want. It's affecting my sleep. It's affecting how I feel during the day. And, you know, so I want to get rid of that. And so, you know, one of the things that I'm doing is this. And you know, you've probably set some goals like that too for your life. You want to be healthier. You want to develop deeper relationships with your family or your friends. You want to be more productive. Or maybe you want to be more present with your family, with the people that matter the most to you. Maybe you want to start a new hobby or get back to one that you love but just lost track of time for last year. And in this season, we get into that rhythm of life where it's great to think about life change goals. We want to be healthier. We want to be more productive. You know, we call them New Year's resolutions. It's a time where we're trying to resolve ourselves, to will ourselves to something better, something greater, something different in the new year. So I want to ask this morning, as we jump into our question of the day, why are lifestyle changes so hard? Because that's what a New Year's resolution is. It's 1% of people feel like they actually accomplish their goals. 8%. It's kind of crazy. By the end of the first week, so today, 76% of people that set goals have kept up with that goal for 1 week. That number drops to 49% after 6 months. It's only 49. So half of the people that set resolutions keep up with them after 6 months. We're starting a new series this morning called Focused. If we're going to talk about all these resolutions in our life, one of the things that I want us to do as a congregation, as a people, is to set goals for us to be focused on God. How do we spend our time and our energy and our resources focused on the things that matter to God? And so that's what we're going to be doing this month, or these few weeks of this month, as we're walking through this series. We're going to be talking about spiritual disciplines and how do we put these habits into place so that we stay focused. Not that 42% of Homeport makes a resolution to be focused on God, and by the end of that, only half of those people are resolved to stay that way halfway through the year, but that many, many more of us will set our face resolute on Jesus and stay focused in 2017. That's what we're going to be talking about this morning. But what does the Bible have to say about focus? What does it have to tell us about focus? Because Solomon said there's nothing new under the sun. So these ideas of resolutions for health goals, for getting healthy, aren't new to humanity. But what does the Bible have to say about that? 1 Timothy chapter 4, Paul begins to tell Timothy, inspired by the Holy Spirit, a little bit about that. He says, if you explain these things to the brothers and sisters, Timothy, and I want to be that for you this morning, I want to explain these things to you. He says, you will be a worthy servant of Jesus Christ, one who is nourished by the message of faith and the good teaching that you have followed. Do not waste your time arguing over godless ideas and old wives' tales. We want to get rid of that out of our lives. We don't want to talk about it. We don't want to deal with it. We don't want to waste our time. He says, physical training is good. Why does he talk about physical training? Physical training was a great concept for the Greeks and for the Romans. They'd already started the Olympics in their time. So these people were training for marathons. They were training for wrestling. I mean, they were working hard. They were training their bodies. They were wanting to participate. And I even wonder if maybe it's something that Timothy or people in his congregation in Ephesus were worried about, were concerned about, were using their time for. He says physical training is good. Why? Because it's good to live healthy lives. It's good to move and to not be sedentary. But training for godliness is much better, promising benefits in this life and the life to come. Physical training, there are tons of benefits for us to be physically healthy in this life. I mean, tons, but they're not going to lap over into eternity. But godliness, training for godliness, to be like Jesus, is much better. It promises benefits in this life and the life to come. And as we're talking through these things this morning, that's what we're talking about, training for godliness, habits, resolutions for godliness. This is a trustworthy saying, and everyone should accept it. That is why we work hard and continue to struggle, for our hope is in the living God, who's the Savior of all people, and particularly of all believers. One author says, godliness refers to the act of being pious and living a good, reverent life towards God and others because of what Christ has done for us. It's action in our life. Godliness is lived out in devotion and action, in fearing God and focusing on Jesus. That's what godliness is. Devotion and action, fearing God and focusing on Jesus. And that's what we want to train for. That's what we want to put into place. That's why this month is so important. If we're so focused on making it different, making it way different than 2016, starting 2017 off fresh, this has got to be our primary focus. Yeah, we ought to be living a healthier lifestyle. We need to be eating better. We need to be doing more. But we need to be training for godliness, and we've got to be focused on it. It's got to be the number one primary thing in our life this year. You know, when we look at these ideas, we know that the best example of godliness lived out in the flesh is Jesus. And we talk about Jesus all the time. We want Jesus to be forefront in our minds. We want to be a church that talks about Jesus. We want to be a church that lives our lives like Jesus has called us to, and we want to be a church that's about the things that Jesus was about. And so we quote to you guys 1 John 2:6 all the time, those who say they live in God should walk as Jesus walked. They should do the things that Jesus did. They should live as Jesus did. And if we're going to be focused on Jesus, if we're going to be training for godliness, what we need to do is strive to be like Jesus. And I want you guys to write that down. Strive to be like Jesus. So many of us have been told that we will never attain what Jesus did. And they're right. We will never attain perfection. We will never be the Son of God. But he came down to us to be our example, our great example. And so if we're going to do anything in this life, if we're going to be focused, and we need to be focused like Jesus was focused, we need to strive to be like Jesus, to do the things that he did, to care about humanity and have a compassion for the lost, to spend time away from everyone else praying. It says many times that Jesus went away and prayed by himself. Even when there was a looming crowd, even when there was still stuff to do, Jesus was out spending time with his Father. Jesus knew the word of God inside and out. We need to be spending our time doing the same things. We're going to be talking about the habits of Bible reading and prayer and how good it is in the coming weeks. But today, we're talking about training to be godly. We've got to be focused on that. And to do that, we have to strive to be like Jesus. One of my favorite passages is Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2 is a beautiful example of what the church is supposed to be like. We see the things that the early church focused on. I mean, this is Acts chapter 2, so we're talking Jesus is ascended into heaven in Acts chapter 1. Peter is given his message in the temple courtyard. And now at the end of that passage, we're not talking about months. We're not talking about years to set things in stone. We're saying these are the things that the earliest disciples, the ones who walked with Jesus, the one who saw his face, the one who witnessed his death, these are the things that they did. It says, all the believers devoted themselves. And if you've got a pen or are able to outline or underline or highlight, underline and highlight that word, all the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship and to the sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper and to prayer. So they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. How do we devote ourselves to the apostles' teaching? We're reading the Gospels. We're reading the epistles. We're reading the letters that Paul and John and Peter wrote. We are devoting ourselves to their teaching. We're reading the Old Testament in ways in which we're looking for Jesus in the Old Testament. We're not just saying that that's an old story and, you know, those guys, those we learn a lot from them. But how do we see Jesus lived out in the Old Testament? We're devoting ourselves to fellowship, to being together, to doing life together, to not coming in on Sunday mornings and leaving and going back out by ourselves, but to spending time together, to be encouraged by one another, to be lifted up, to have people to mourn with us when we need to mourn and people to rejoice with us when we need to rejoice. How are we doing these things together? Finding fellowship, being a part of a homeport group, being part of a ministry team. They also shared meals together. They were inviting each other over for dinner. They were encouraging people to come to their homes for over food. What a great way to break down barriers and to draw into deeper relationships than through a meal. And a meal is a great equalizer in that way, is that we spend time just sharing our food together. In that time, Matt reminds me all the time of a minister friend of his who said, he gives him a number. He says, you eat so many meals a day. I mean, you're eating 21 meals a day. Why aren't you eating one of them with some, or not, you're not eating 21 meals a day, 21 meals a week. Why aren't you, you know, hey, healthier lifestyle. If you break it down into one bite, okay, your food will be cold at the end, but you could stretch it to 21 meals a day, 21 meals a week. Why aren't we sharing one of those meals with somebody? But they also, and when they were meeting together, they were participating in the Lord's Supper together and sharing in that time. And they spent time praying together. And this is what it says, because the believers devoted themselves to these things, because they were so focused on these things, a deep sense of awe came over all of them. And the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders, and all the believers met together in one place, and they shared everything that they had. They sold their property and possessions and shared with money with those in need. They worshiped together in the temple each day and met in the homes for the Lord's Supper and shared meals with great joy and generosity. This both and, this large group gathering of corporate worship, but also times in people's homes, or smaller groups connecting on a deeper level, all while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all people. And what happened? Each day, the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. I guarantee you, in the midst of all of this stuff, especially in their times of prayer, they were praying for lost people. Just like we talked about last week, just like that banner reminds us every week, we've got to be praying for somebody to know, come to know the Lord. We want to be a church that's praying for the lost. We're going to be saying this over and over and over again. You're going to be hearing us talk about it all year long. Everyone, pray for one. Know who your one is and pray for them every single day. And pray for that opportunity to share your faith or an invitation to church with them. Make sure you're putting their name on the banner back there so that not only can together can we see this, but we can all be praying over those people. We can all spend time on our way out praying for someone that's on that banner and just reminded of just something. We're doing this together. We're not saying it's all on you, but together we are doing this as one body focused on the lost. We're devoted to these things. This is what godliness looks like. Godliness is a life lived with devotion and action. Their life, the beginning of Acts chapter 2, this is devotion and action. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. They devoted themselves to fellowship. They devoted themselves to eating together and sharing the Lord's Supper. And they devoted themselves to prayer. Devotion and action, fearing God and focusing on his ways. Focusing on Jesus. This is what we've got to be about this year. So we're kicking off a new year focused on Jesus. How do we do that? We want you guys to be spending more time reading your Bibles. I will hammer this and hammer this and hammer this, and we'll talk about it all the time. But these Bible reading plans that we put out for you guys, you can pick up a hard copy in the lobby. You can pick up, or you can go and find it on our website. Even on your phones, you can just go to homeportcc.org, scroll to the bottom. There's a picture that says Daily Bible Reading Plan. You click on that, and you click on the one for the date, and it'll bring it right up. And if you don't have your Bible with you, you click on the verses that it says, and it'll bring the verses up for you. And you can just read the whole thing right there. You can find them on our website. You can find them on our Facebook. We're always trying to put out these things. We're always trying to get for you a way to read the Bible more and more. If you follow the plan, which it's pretty rigorous, I'll admit that. If you follow the plan, you'll read the Old Testament once, and you'll read the New Testament twice in a year. If you can't do that, pick the New Testament verses. Just read the New Testament. Just focus on what God had to say in the church age to the church and to the believers. But be more focused. Give that time to reading your Bible. 15 minutes a day, 30 minutes a day. I mean, we're not talking about a lot of time. We waste so much time doing all these other things. What if we gave up something? You know, what if we fasted from something that we are using our time on? And we actually use our time to read our Bibles and spend more time. We're going to be talking more about the benefits of reading, how we read our Bible, why we read our Bible in the coming weeks. We're going to be talking more about prayer. We want to spend more of our time praying. Paul encourages the church to always be praying. Whatever situation we're going in, whether it's we're walking into our office in the morning or we're walking into a friend's house or we're walking into a business, are we praying over that these people and over that situation? I mean, you're just talking about what happened in Fort Lauderdale this weekend. I mean, how are we entering into situations praying God's peace over that? Praying for God's blessings, for his protection in those environments. If we're always praying, if the church would rise up and do the things that it's called to do. I was reminded this week, the church is not called to change culture, but the culture changes because Christians act like Jesus. They do the things that he's called us to do. So how are we praying more? How are we praying for one another? How are we lifting each other up? How are we praying for the church? For the things that God's called us to do. How are we praying for our neighbors and our coworkers? Are we asking people, how can I pray for you? Are we really devoted to prayer? Are we devoted to giving of our resources, our time, and our energy, serving on a ministry team, engaged in a community group or in a Homeport group? I mean, how are we using those things and giving of our resources and our time and our energy? How are we engaging with the church? Are we devoted to that? We're going to spend a lot of time this month in our equipping classes talking about those things. And I'd love for you guys to join us. If I was in your shoes and I wanted to kick this year off right, this is what I'd be looking for. How do I pursue Jesus? We're going to spend a whole hour talking about how do we pursue Jesus. We're going to talk about more in depth, and even in the sermon next week, talking about Bible reading, how, habits, our spiritual disciplines. We're going to talk about how do we engage in serving in a ministry team? What are my spiritual gifts? If I don't know these things, how am I using them for the church? How am I loving others in a day and an age when, you know, it's really not rare to see people, you know, hold their hand out the window and show them the sign that's not hello because they cut them off in traffic, you know? You know, we do not have a culture or community that knows how to love one another, to bear with one another anymore. We need desperately for the church to stand up and to be about that. And then how do we share our faith? It's not as hard as we think it is. It's not as detrimental as we think it is. I heard a guy talking about sharing his faith the other day. You remember that movie, We Bought a Zoo? Anybody ever watch that Matt Damon movie, We Bought a Zoo? Cute movie about this guy, loses his wife. He's a journalist who travels the world, and now he's responsible for his two kids. He's got nobody around him, and his family just begins to crumble apart with the death of his wife. And so he's looking for a place outside of the city to buy, and he stumbles on a small zoo. I mean, like, literally, small zoo. They have all kinds of animals, not a huge place, and he's got some money tucked away, and so he pours this money into this zoo. Anyways, in it, his son, who's a teenager, ends up with a crush on one of the girls that works in the thing, one of the teenage girls that works in the zoo, and he says to him, he says, all it takes is 20 seconds of immense courage. And so many times in our lives, that's what we need. We need to, we want to share our faith. We feel like we've got that open door, and then we stop. And what we really need is 20 seconds of immense courage to step up and talk about our faith and to share that moment. Because once we get over that 20 seconds, it's really not as hard as it looks on the other side. It's just that first step into it. These are the things that we've got to be giving ourselves to. I want to close this morning with a poem I found. William Longstaff, he wrote this poem in 1882, and it's called Take Time to Be Holy. Take time to be holy, speak oft with thy Lord. Abide in him always, and feed on his word. Make friends of God's children, help those who are weak, forgetting in nothing his blessings to seek. Take time to be holy, the world rushes on. Spend much time in secret with Jesus alone. By looking to Jesus, like him thou shalt be, thy friends in thy conduct his likeness shall see. Take time to be holy, let him be thy guide, and run not before him, whatever betide. In joy or in sorrow, still follow the Lord, and looking to Jesus, still trust in his word. Take time to be holy, be calm in thy soul, each thought, each motive beneath his control. Thus led by his spirit to fountains of love, thou soon shalt be fitted for service above. Go ahead and pray with me. Father God, this morning we come to the foot of your throne, and we want to abide in you. We want to lean in on you. We know that you are everything that we need. But this world around us drags us. It drags us on as it rushes, as it's busy, as it continues to go. So, Father, we pray for the ability to slow down, to be able to focus on you, to pull all the things out of this life that distract us, all the things that we don't need to give our time and our energy to. And, Father, I pray that you would just help us as we walk through this month talking about these things. Help us to live out our devotion. Help us to fear you more than the people, the situations around us, and help us to be like Jesus. Father, we love you. We thank you for another day of life, another new year before us, and another opportunity to live for you, and to tell others all about you. We pray all this in your son's name. Amen. Just like the early church.